Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I don't see anybody that looks odd, so I'm assuming that everybody knows who I am. I thought about this week what I wanted to teach. And to tell you the truth, it's going to probably change up. I'm probably not going to have one theme for this quarter. Unless I find something that really interests me that will take, you know, a number of lessons. Sometimes I do like to bounce around when I'm teaching to teach some things that I think that we need to know. And I just saw another car pull in, so at least we'll have a couple more people. But anyway, I was looking at this book last night, so I'm going to go ahead and try to teach a little bit out of it. Christian Evidences. I've had this for a while. It has a number of lessons. I'm going to go ahead and try to look at a couple of things in lesson one. And what do you think the title of lesson one is? Just out of curiosity. Anybody have a guess?
Can I ask a question?
No. Yes. It is Christian Evidences. No. At least that's not this lesson.
The evidence that God.
That's a lot closer. The first chapter is called Unbelief. And I'm not going to read through this whole thing, but I do want to let you know kind of what it says. The first paragraph is, let's face it, we are living in a world that appears to be drifting increasingly into deeper levels of unbelief. Our faith is under assault, and if we don't do something about it, we certainly can expect no one else to. The time has come for us to fortify our minds with the kind of truth that can weather the attacks of unbelief. What do I mean by unbelief?
There is no God.
That's right. And you would be amazed how many people think that. If you ask them why, though, some of them have no idea. But there are a lot of people that say that there is no God. What are some of the reasons that people have? Because they think that there is no God.
Because of all of the chaos that is in the world, how can there be a God and he's a loving God and allow all of this evil to happen?
Okay.
I hear that.
That's one of the things that you hear quite a bit. If God is so good, how could he let evil exist? That's basically what you hear a lot. You've got a number of, I don't know what, if you want to call them, types of people or classes or whatever that fall under this group. Obviously, you have the atheist that says there's no such thing as God, never has been, never will be. You also have what people call the skeptic. Not quite so bold. He simply doubts the existence of a supreme being. So he doesn't, a lot of times skeptics won't come right out and say that there's no such thing as God, but if you ask them if they believe in God, a lot of times they won't say anything about that either. And then you've got the agnostic. He argues there's not sufficient evidence to establish a case for the existence of God. There's even one more that some people list called the deist. I had to look that up. A deist, he theoretically acknowledges the existence of a supreme creator, but the supreme creator has no interest or contact with men. So he just hangs out there somewhere, and that's it. He has no interest in us one way or the other. But we have plenty of evidence for the existence of God. Because, number one, nobody else can explain how we all got here. They try to. They come up with theories. How many of you in school studied evolution? Okay, most of us. Especially if it's been in the last, 50 years or so. Okay, and how do they teach it in public schools?
As a fact.
As a fact. That's what they teach. But it never was, never has been, never will be a fact. It is a theory made up by Charles Darwin and his buddies back a long time ago. And there is no proof for that. Because, now, am I saying that animals don't evolve? No, because they do. You can see that now. Because there is types of evolution that do actually occur on Earth. But it is not the sole way that created everything here, especially us. And they have a theory, that's true, but it's a totally unprovable theory, but they don't admit that. Roger?
It started because Louis Pasteur proved that life comes from life, that spontaneous generation does not exist, and the theory of evolution has a premise of spontaneous generation, which has been proven false.
That's right. Because remember, at the bottom line of evolution, what they are actually saying is that at some point way back, some of them go back as far as billions of years, something came from nothing. And we all know that science can't do that. God did that. Now, people talk about that. You'd be amazed what people say about they try to believe in God. And some of them do actually believe in God. They're not just trying. But what they're doing in a lot of cases is they try to come up with some explanation of how things were made that will fit into their little box of, okay, this is my belief in God. Now I have to make everything fit my theory. And the truth is that God literally made His creation in days, not years, not centuries, not eons. Now, since He created, is there evolution that does happen in animals? Yes, it does. Animals do evolve to a certain extent. Otherwise, you'd only have one breed of dog and cat and every other kind of animal. Jody.
God didn't create every single type. He created a type.
Right.
Canines. Realize you have never had a evolution that took a cat and ever got anything but another cat. Mm-hmm. It'd be a different version but he's still a cat.
Right. And the point is that you can't get something from nothing. Now, we all know that from our daily lives. And everybody knows that, except if you are a staunch evolutionist, because you can't be a staunch evolutionist unless you believe that something came from nothing. And it didn't happen. I'm just looking at my little book here. Okay. What?
Everything came from nothing.
That's right. Everything. You think about the number of species that are on the world today. I mean, they find new ones all the time. And not like one or two, sometimes 50 to 100 a year of new species every year. And you wonder about things like, you know, why in the world would we believe in God? What kind of things happen that would help us to believe? What kind of things that does science have that you just can't explain? And they can't either. One of my favorites is, how many people grew up riding a bicycle? Okay. Have you ever ridden your bicycle and jumped off the back and let go of it and watched it, you know, keep rolling for a little ways before it completely stops and then falls over? Well, the fact that it keeps going after you get off of it is basically against everything science says. And they don't know why it does that. Now, does it do it every time? Well, no. I mean, if you're, you know, curving or turning in or stuff like that, you can jump off a bike and it'll just fall down. But if you pay attention and you want to, you can jump off and just let it go, and it'll keep going. Sometimes I had one go down 100 yards down a hill one time and I had to chase it. But it's just one of those things that they don't know why it does that, because it shouldn't, but it does. Other things that they simply cannot explain why they happen. How many people have hummingbirds that go around their house? Do you ever watch them? Well, you know, there's a bunch of species, but we have just a couple, I think, around here. But think about what a hummingbird can actually do that is completely against everything that science says. Number one, it can hover. It can fly backwards. As a matter of fact, I think it might be the only bird that can actually fly backwards. It can fly literally sideways, because I've watched them. I mean, literally like this, like a helicopter, kind of. And it can fly upside down. They have film of hummingbirds actually flying upside down. And nobody knows why. And nobody explained, okay, how did that happen? Because there's nothing else in the world that's ever been close to being a hummingbird, except for a hummingbird. Evolutionists cannot look at a hummingbird and go, okay, I can trace that back to this. Because they can't. It's almost like hummingbirds just appeared by magic. And that's not the only case. But now, the reasons why people say that sometimes that there is no God is, okay, if God is good, then why would he let evil exist? Anybody have a good reason for that?
He loves us enough to give us free will.
Free will. That's what it is. And we are humans. And if you're like me, you're far from perfect. And we have free will as humans, whether we believe in God or not. And free will means that people can choose the way they live. And let's face it, sometimes the way some people live, you know, is beyond belief on the side of evil. That can be individually, but it can also be in, you know, whole countries. I mean, everybody likes to look back at World War II in Germany, Adolf Hitler and the Nazis when they ran Germany. Contrary to popular belief, a lot of people, particularly in the 20 years right after World War II, they tried to say that, oh, Germany, man, they were so lucky. I can't believe it. Their country actually ran terribly. You know, Hitler was an idiot and da-da-da, and it goes on and goes on. But in reality, that's true. Germany was very efficient. And contrary to popular belief, for a while, Adolf Hitler was everybody's buddy in Germany back then. They don't admit it now. But back then, they thought he was the cat's meow. And so that is why they followed him. And because what he said and did in those years, it worked. I mean, he took Germany from the point of falling apart as a country in the early 1930s to, well, we all know what happened in 1939. And he, fortunately for us, from a historical point of view, he had a tendency to listen to people when his, I don't know what you want to call it, empire or government or whatever, got too big that he literally could not control it himself. Fortunately for us, he picked some real geniuses to control it. And I'm kidding, they weren't geniuses. They were not very good at what they did. And so things started sliding after that. And this is about 1942 when they did. But and his ego got involved on it too. Don't forget that. When Hitler came to power, and, you know, in the 1930s, on up to, you know, 1938, 1939, everything he did, it was like he had, somebody looking at his shoulder that granted all of his wishes, because everything he did seemed to go right from a international point of view. I mean, look at what he did. They said Britain and France said he'd never go back into the Rhineland. Well, 1936, he marches into the Rhineland. Nobody does anything. And after that, and don't forget that to the Germans, the Rhineland was part of Germany. It wasn't part of France. And don't forget all these other places like Czechoslovakia. Czechoslovakia was formed after World War I. And according to Adolf Hitler, it was supposed to be part of Germany. So once again, he marched right in. And Austria, well, Austria had been part of Germany before. The same thing. He just walked in. And why? Nobody even knows why it happened. But for one reason, England and France in particular were absolutely terrified of going to war again. Because in World War I, let's face it, from a brutality point of view, that was one of the worst things that ever happened on this planet. More people died in World War I and then World War II. And some people are still keeping records and adding people that died in World War I because they find out new information. But anyway, to move on. Now, another reason why people don't believe in God is what this book here says, inordinate pride. It facilitates atheism. There is nothing that could possibly be better than me, or higher, or stronger, or smarter than me. A evolutionary atheist named Gaylord Simpson wrote, "Man is his own master. He can and must decide his own destiny." That was in 1953. Everybody has heard of, Friedrich Nietzsche. I think I'm saying that right. He was an atheistic philosopher who, he in particular, did have a lot of influence on Hitler. Because not only did he say that there was a difference between different races, but that the German race was the best. And Hitler just took that up. People often reject belief in God because it, let's face it, it gives them a carte blanche to do whatever they want. Whether it's good or whether it's not good, or whether it's really bad. This goes from everything to how you run your business, to, in some cases, even how you run your country, how you run your personal life, and believe it or not, in some cases, even how you run your church life. Now, I don't mean the Church of Christ. I mean the church as in religion in general. But the point is that when you talk about having that much freedom, it, let's face it, we're not very good at it. We think we are, and for sometimes we can be. And for right now, the U.S. is doing fair. Now, 100 years ago, I think we were better in some ways, but not as good in others. Because it's an ongoing thing. But now, is America perfect? No, let's face it. We make mistakes all the time. The only good part is, at least most of the time, most people will admit it when they make mistakes. But some people don't. And some people that don't, unfortunately, we put in places where they have more power than they should. And that's not just here, that's all over the world. Because we like to hear that things are going good. If we hear that things are going good, then to a lot of people, nothing else matters. As long as I have three meals a day and I'm not being rained on 24 hours a day, you'd be amazed how many people think that that's the way that life should be. And as long as life is like that, they are happy, or they say they're happy. Now, one issue that people have, if you're going to believe in God, then if you don't believe in God, then don't forget the moral responsibility that we no longer have. If God's not real, then in reality, we can do whatever we want, whenever we want, every time that we think we can get away with it. And that goes for everybody. Because if there's no universal code that tells us to do, quote, the right thing, then why do it? Do what's right for me. That's what too many people believe in today. Now, does that mean that everybody that's an atheist is a murderer? No, it doesn't, because they're not. But what it does mean is that they have put themselves before everything else. Sometimes that even includes their family, their job, you know, everything that they do, other people. And now, have we all been guilty of maybe putting ourselves before something else in our lives? Probably. I know I have, especially when I was younger. And I mean, let's face it, you know, sometimes, and I think that, thank goodness for women, because I think guys are more susceptible to this than girls. But, you know, sometimes when you're young and when everything seems to be going all right, you think for some reason that that's because you're so cool. Right? Well, unfortunately, it's really not that way. And sooner or later, your cool goes away. Unless you're like me, because, you know, I'm always cool. Right? See? They all say that. See? Doug knows. Okay. Now, one of the other things that the atheists love to believe, and it is a part of what they think the way the world could go, comes strictly from something as simple as inordinate pride. They are so proud of what they've done that they can't believe that anybody could ever do anything better, even though they can, because it happens all the time. Fortunately, it does. There are still things that are wonderful in this world. Now, does everybody agree with everything that you might think is wonderful, or that other people might think is wonderful? But to, at least from a certain, you know, all around point of view, you know, there are things that are good. Something as simple as pizza. Is pizza good? I like pizza. But, and you know, I'm kidding. But the way that we live our lives, the way that we get up and go to work, the way that we treat people at Walmart, the way that we conduct ourselves in our daily business, you have no idea how important that really is, particularly for us, because contrary to popular belief, people will look at us every day because of who we say we are. They are looking for us to screw up. Now, do we screw up? Oh yeah, we do. Christians are not perfect. And I know about that old saying, you know, not perfect, just saved or forgiven. It depends on which group you want to listen to. But does that mean you should stop trying? No. We keep trying to be a little better today than we were yesterday. Now, what you need to be careful of is that besides inordinate pride, you can also think if there's no God that you really don't have any moral responsibility at all. And if you look at it strictly from a scientific point of view, that's true. Can you look at today's world and say, yeah, but there are laws that say this, and laws that say this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. And that's true. And if you do those things, there can be penalties for that. But do people still do those things? Yes. the United States right now is doing okay from the point of view of people that follow the law and people that don't. Now, if you go back 20 years, it wasn't that good. Not that we were ever Nazis or anything like that, but there are patterns that civilizations go through where they have ups and downs in literally their moral behavior. Because, well, if he can do it that way, how come I can't do it that way? Especially if there's no God. Why can't I do it that way? Because God says I can't do it that way. And I know that's a big simplification, but it's also absolutely true. And, I mean, me personally, you know, part of you says, I would love to be here when Jesus comes back. And I think that's true. I would. If he came back today, I would love that. But as a human, I would also realize that how many of the people I've known in my life would not like that if he came back today, for good reason. Because we just don't think about it that way, that people all over the world think that Christians are good people, quote, but they're not really cool. And they're not really in the know of what is really going on in the world. And I'll be the first to admit, it's not like, there are, at least in this country, the last time I looked a few months ago, a little less than 2.5 million Christians. Overseas, it's less than that. But I don't really have a good statistic from that. But even if it was the same, how many people are in the world, give or take? How much? 11 billion. And if you look at our best statistic, there's maybe 4.5 million Christians in the whole world. And you go, man, that doesn't seem very good, does it?
But the word of God says that
only a few. Only a few.
Mm-hmm.
Only a few. So I really don't expect the whole world, like when I'm out there evangelizing, I don't expect everyone to jump on board and say, yes, I want to obey the gospel and do what God. I don't even expect that from what I read,
mm-hmm.
that only a few. And I'm doing everything I can to make myself one of those few.
Mm-hmm.
And how many that is, I don't know.
Jody?
Point that in the context, the few he's talking about are God's children.
That's right, yeah.
Not the world.
Right.
Even when God's children, only a few will be saved. Why? Because far too many of us profess godliness but don't live godly.
Yeah.
Right. And that's something we need to... Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah.
Speak up.
I just thought is, why does God keep the world going? And it seems to me that God must be trying to maximize the number of people in heaven, not minimize the number of people going to hell. Otherwise, he would have ended this long ago.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want anyone to perish. Peter says that. The Holy Spirit, through Peter, says that God is patient because he don't want anyone to perish and that he wants more people to come to know him. So.
Okay. That's a good statement.
Yeah.
Does God want anybody to perish?
No.
Does he know that people are going to perish?
Yeah.
Yes. And contrary to what you're going to read in the vast majority of denominations and religions, God realizes that most people are not going to make it. And that's something that we need to realize. That's why We need to try to get the most people we can to come to Christ. Because, you know, you can hear all the preaching that you want in all the denominations that you want. But the fact is, most people are not going to heaven. And few there be that find it. Never forget that. And when Jesus Christ says few, you know, he's not talking about 60-40. He's more close to 90-10.
In Noah's day, 100,000 people looking for 8 souls. That's few.
Mm-hmm. That's few. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, think about that. That really puts fear in, because what it tells you, when God says few, he's not using that term loosely.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty significant thing. One other point I think, in your discussion about proof of God, people's reason for believing in God, is that you talked about people are good.
Mm-hmm.
All the laws in the world are all based on God and God's law. And yet, if people in Budapest have the same fundamental laws of morality that we have here, and nobody taught, the world wasn't taught all over the world, these morality laws were embedded in the very heart of God's mind when he made man and when he put the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so that in itself is proof that there has to be a creator.
That's a good point. And that's something that I think in many cases that now we realize it more than a lot of people. Because the bottom line is, most people are not going to make it. That's just the way that it is. It's not, you know, evil. It's just the way it is. And that's why we have to try to talk to more people. When you go out in your daily lives and meet people, I have 5 minutes. Okay. One last thing I wanted to talk about is, and it's another one of those things that people say, well, if God is so good, then why do people suffer? Contrary to popular belief, God never came down and put down law that thou shalt never suffer. No, he didn't. And a lot of people seem to think that he should have, or that he did even though he didn't. But the problem, as presented by many Greek philosophers way back then, and it's the same thing, it's they think that if God is real, that everybody should be fine. Everybody. Well, God never said that. Jesus never said that. I mean, Jesus knew on the cross that, you know, he had done the best he could, and he is the best there ever was, but he still knew that most people would not make it to heaven. And that's as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. Last, I wanted to mention one thing that sometimes you hear people talk about evil. Now, are there evil people in the world? Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And that can be true with, you know, a lot of people, even in here. And one other thing you need to remember that people don't understand. Just because you have been told by somebody, or that you think yourself that you're a good person, does that mean you're really a good person in the eyes of God? No. Okay. I'm waving now. Can you put it up? How many people know who those people are? That's the crew of Artemis II. They're about two-thirds of the way to the moon now. Now, the reason I brought this up, I just thought it was an interesting point. Do you see that fine-looking African-American man in the middle there? He's a member of the church. He goes to the Church of Christ in Houston. He has his communion cup and his bread with him. And he's celebrating it today, just like he does every other week. I just thought that was cool. Okay, Jody, can you close us in prayer? I think we have like 1 minute.
We come before thy throne, bringing praise and honor and glory to thee, O God, for being our God, for being the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the sustainer of all things, the giver of life and every good and perfect gift. We thank thee, God, for that scripture that instructs us in how we ought to live our lives the best we can, Father, to be examples and pleasing in thy sight. Father, we realize that we're flesh and blood, that we're prone to sin, we fall short, we do things we should not do, we leave undone things we should do, but we know that our loving and merciful God, that you have promised that if we strive to do that which is right, when we humble ourselves and confess our sins to thee, that you're faithful and just to forgive us. We know that we have salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. We praise thee and we thank thee for this glorious day, for this opportunity we have to come before thy throne and to worship thee, our God. Through Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.